Good evening. I'd like to welcome to each of you to the house of the Lord this evening. Pray that we all in the right heart, and we are here for one mind, and that is to hear the word of the Lord. And as many times I have said, maybe you know. Brother Ken the other day said, you know, every time you stand up here, you don't know how to break the ice. What is the key word to start with? And I always have a hard time with that. And I'm glad that I'm still talking right now. but I put my trust in the Lord that he will clear up my mind and heart, that I might be able to speak clear enough for you tonight, that you may understand the message that I have in my heart, that God has guided me to. And I'm going to begin without getting any more into conversation. So those who want to follow me, I would like to open with the scripture in Mosiah. Chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And it says, believe in God and believe that he is, and that he create all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that he had all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. And I read that couple lines there, and the reason I choose them is because belief is speaking about, do we believe in God, and do we believe that he create everything and all those things that surround us? I believe there's a song up there it's about, we see him everywhere. And I believe that as we walk in our daily life, we see everything that has been around us. I've been doing a little bit of hiking more than usual these days, and I enjoy the outside, the outdoors. And I see, and I believe that God has created, because as you walking on the trail, you get to see all kinds of the animals and the plants, the vegetation, the cactus, and all those things. And I enjoyed his creation. But I asked myself too, you know, why? I mean, he created all these beautiful things that are around us. I'm like, why do you create snakes? I don't like snakes. I ran into one once, and I mean, they're poison, so you don't mess with them. I mean, he has a reason for, you know. Our last sacrament service we had, one of my sisters here, I forgot your name, Erica. Her testimony was about getting along, and maybe someday that will happen. And I can't wait for that. That will be one of the most beautiful things. The song that we just sung is talking about higher grounds, and that is our goal, and that's why, you know, we have the trust and the hope that we might be with him in higher grounds. Another scripture that I thought it would go with what I'm speaking today is in Matthew 13 and verse 55. That's where Christ called us friends, and so we have a friend, and actually it speaks a little bit that he is the you know, as he was preaching his gospel, his good news, the people were judging him because he was from the same town, and so they were not believing him because he was the son of the carpenter. And I believe that, you know, being the son of the carpenter, being the older son of the whole family, I'm pretty sure he was busy with his dad. He building things of, you know, from wood. It will be so neat if you ever get to see something, a table, a chair that he built. Because as any son helps his father as the growing up and living in the same house, and especially being the older son. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "For every house is built by some men." And that brings me to the thought that Brother Andy, how many houses he has built or buildings? He is a builder. He's Bob the Builder. No, just kidding. He has built a lot of houses up there. My dad has built a lot of houses. He was a builder too. But it says, he that built all things is God. He is the best architect. He is the best carpenter. It's so easy. You know, we were talking about the other day about building good habits, but sometimes we can build bad habits also. My thought was that in every here and there, every day, I think of when I get home after having a busy day, when I get home, I'm going to read my scriptures. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read, and that is my plan. But it never works out. It never works out for me. Every time I get home, halfway there, my eyelids are falling and my eyes. I get home, sit down, and change my uniform and all that stuff. By the time I finish, I'm so tired. So what did I do? I sit down on the couch, grab the remote control slowly, and I start flipping channels. And I find that interesting. My mind isn't, I'm doing this, but my body, my flesh is more weaker. And that's scary, because you can change your habits, you can change all those things in a second without even realizing. We need to be strong in when those temptations, I believe those are temptations. Our enemy doesn't relax, doesn't take a break. He's always working. And we all know that the good things coming from God and bad things coming from Satan. But even that, we have work to do. We have to work our salvation. Our brother, this morning, I write it down right here, and his subject was that the gospel is the way to eternal life. And I wrote it down because it really touched my heart. And that is so true. And that is why we're here, to hear his gospel. If we don't hear it, how do we won't know the way to the eternal life, to his kingdom? Remember, he's always working on us, and we are his temple. It's interesting to me that they call him the carpenter son. And as being a temple, his temple, he's still working in you and I. But we will get to that. So we have to work our salvation that we may be with him in higher grounds. And Mark 10, verse 40, it says, "But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom is prepared." Is prepared what? You know, there's another chapter that talks about many mansions. There is a room for you and I prepared in heaven. So as I'm going through my scriptures, we will realize that my sermon name is Heaven is real. In Matthew 7:20, it says, by the works we will be judged. So we're working on the way there. I said, I don't know who I was talking to. It's like the Israelites and Moses wandering in the desert. We're still in the desert. We're still wandering around. We're still looking for the holy city, for the city where there will be milk and honey. We are still wandering in this desert. How are we going to get to that? By our works, by our things that we do, by our behavior. We have to work our salvation and believe that God created everything. And if we do believe that, we are on the right path. And as we read and grow into the scriptures, our faith will grow up too. And nothing will make us shake. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, 9, it says, but it is written, I had not seen, no ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. If we don't believe the things that we see around us, even they're right there in front of us, we are lost. But those things, let's remember that Christ told his disciples, you know, all these secrets, all these, they are for you to learn them, you know, to understand them. The gift is being given it to you and I, that we may put our trust in it. And that is our hope. That is our thing that we need to do. Because other than that, we don't know where we're going. We'll be going like the ocean, like the waves of the ocean, going back and forth. As many churches these days, people jump from one church to another because they haven't find the true happiness. Perhaps they are happy for a while, but then they realize they're not being fed with the truth. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We are his building. I think I just talked about this in my last sermon. We jump to 17 in the same chapter. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I think about this verse here, and I'm like, you know, how can I take care of this temple? How can I take care of this body? But our brother reminded this morning, you know, this house, it's going to stay behind. Because flashing blood, it will not go into kingdoms, to the kingdom of God. So should we focus in our body or in our spiritual life? Like I said, I've been these days kind of active, going hiking, riding my bike, and all that stuff. And I don't know. It's like, I'm able to do it, but I'm thinking about a lot of people that are not able to enjoy the all these things that God has created for us to enjoy. So, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, for barely exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable into all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So it's good to work, to, you know, take care of your body, to take care of yourself. But we also have to take care of our spiritual body, our spiritual life. And how are we going to do that? Not by going places or doing things that we should not do, that we might get our brain all scarfed in those things that you be remembered and thinking about it because you were in places that where you not should be, where you should not be. Our body is God's temple. We need to focus on that, not in the physical, because other than that, it's either one or the other. I guess we can balance, just like we balance life. It's not all about working, but you have to enjoy this life and know around you and what is around you. God wants us to take care of ourselves. Take care of your body, your soul. We read in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we need to take care of our soul and physical body at the same time. But a lot of the things that God sees is not the outside, it's inside. It's inside. In 1 Samuel, we're going to read chapter 16. God does not care so much about what he sees in the outside body, he cares more about the inside. And prophet Samuel, when he was ready to anoint David, he went through all the brothers. He was looking at the strong and tall brothers, and God told him, that's not what I'm looking. So that's when prophet Samuel asked Jesse, do you have any more kids? Just one, the shepherd guy. Bring it in. We're going to read in 1 Samuel 16:7. It says, but the Lord saying to Samuel, look not in his countenance or in the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as men see it. For men look on the outward appearance, but the Lord look in your heart. In your heart. It's like everything connects with what Brother Hugh said this morning. He knows everything you're thinking right now. He knows your heart. He knows our thoughts. You remember when Moses was still in the desert and Aaron and their sister were complaining and murmuring behind him. And so much they were just murmuring in their hearts. And the sister, she gave her leprosy because he knew what she was thinking. He can read your heart. But the Lord look on the heart. He doesn't care so much about how you look outside. He make us perfect. We were created in his image. God has no favors of people. He has no favors. He chose me to do his work. I don't feel worthy to preach his gospel. I'm not, I say it once and I say it again, I'm not that smart. Sometimes I don't even know I don't know how to read what I write down. But he called me to confuse others, perhaps. I don't know. In Proverbs chapter 31:30, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Obviously, he doesn't care about those things. Favorism, that is a thing that perhaps we need to work on that. Am I your favorite preacher? No. Is anybody else your favorite preacher? We should be here for every service. You know, don't matter who's going to preach. I never question anybody. I never question any of me, the ministers here. They never question me. And perhaps someday they might, and I will take it. Because I'm not perfect. But I'm here to hear the word. I told myself once, I'm not here to please others, but I'm here to please God and to hear his word and what he has to say. I don't care who is speaking it through. We are here to hear his word, and that way, that's how we keep our faith strong. Continue walking in his name. In James 2, chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, well respect a person. He has no favoritism, nor respect a person. My daughters, I love my daughters the same. I don't love more one than the other. I love both of them the same. If I say something, the one of them is my favorite, I'm going to hurt the feelings of the other one. I don't want that to happen. I don't want them to think like that about me. I love them the same. As God loves you and I. You know, he sent his son to die for you and I. That applies that to all of us, no matter what, in for whatever country. We are his children. We are made in his image. We have a race to win. And it's, the way I see it, it's coming quickly. I just turned 50, for those who do not know. I turned 50 last week, I believe. It was my birthday. I didn't come in up here. I kind of hurt myself. But where is the time go? It's going pretty fast. When I was changing diapers, sorry, Gross, I was like, oh, man, where are you going to grow up? This is no fun. But look at them. They're 23 and 22 years old. I'm surprised I'm not a grandpa yet. That would be worse. It would be beauty. But I don't know what my feeling would be. The time is going so fast, brothers and sisters. That's all I had to say. First, 2 Timothy, we're going to read in chapter 4, verse 5 to 8. But watch thou in all things and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of any ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord hath righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also the love his appearing. That is our goal, brothers and sisters, to watch for him, and to, no matter where we're going, whatever afflictions, we have to endure and continue doing our work, because the work of an evangelist applies to all of us, to each of us, not just the ministry. You know, sometimes you have friends or family that they need to hear that from you, see the good behavior of you, that you good works. That's when the questions come. And that's when we had the opportunity to witness Christ. So our goal is to be with our Savior Jesus Christ. And I know that heaven, it is real. And I know that heaven is forever, for eternity. Nothing lasts forever on earth. You know, sometimes you get a new car, how long did it last, the beauty of that car? You know, a couple years, and then it's all broken and it's asking you for parts already. Happy moments, they don't last forever also. You know, you like, I wish this can last forever. And it, whatever happens, you know, it's just for a short time. When you're getting married, you're looking at your spouse and you're like, I wish this lasts forever. But it doesn't last forever. I'm talking about happiness. But if you're in Christ, you know our goal was ahead of us. That is our happiness. And that will last forever. Happiness in this world don't last forever. Nothing lasts forever. No your new car, no your beauty, no your muscles. Nothing lasts forever. We fall. It's like a circle. We start here and we end the same. And so our focus is on Christ, that we may be with him. Remember, we are his building and he's working on us. In Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 16, it says, but now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. We're on our way. We're on our way to that beautiful city that he talks about in Revelations. You know, Abraham said, we are not from this land. We are strangers. We are strangers until we come in the presence of the Lord. In Hebrews 11, continue, and 11, 8 to 10, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into the place which he should, where he should offer, receive for inheritance, obey, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a stranger country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and there with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That's the same city we are trying to get to. And that is our hope. God will continue working in our hearts and will continue building us strong as he's been doing it for over 2,000 years. How can we not trust in that? In Exodus 23, it reminds us who is our leader and who is helping us to get to where we're going and to meet that point. Behold, I send an angel before thee. Exodus 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Wow. That is good news. It's like Brother Hugh said this morning, that is good news. Now, in Genesis, first chapter 1, 26 and 27, and God said, let us make men in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, and over the fowl, the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and in every creeping thing that creep upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female create them. We all look different, and we are from a lot of countries, and we have our different aspect, but God created us in his image. And God does not make any mistakes. He doesn't create junk. He creates perfect. You perfect. I'm perfect. And when the time comes that we are in his kingdom, nothing will be missing. We will be perfect. What does it say? That not one hair of your head will be missed? That's a promise. that we have, and that's a promise that we need to look for forward. In John 14, chapter 1, chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled. That's my favorite chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. This is Christ speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. A heaven where everything is perfect, where won't be no more suffering, where every day will be a good day. There's a place that where you don't go and say, having a good day. Having a good day? What do you mean? Every day is good here. Every day is going to be good. Don't you want to be there? That is our goal. There's only two ways, heaven and hell. I don't know where that scripture is, where Lazarus, talking about Lazarus, the poor and the rich. There's a good example right there. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There's only two. You have to make the choice. But God already knows. I believe that God knows already who is going to believe in him, who is going to follow him, because he prepared their hearts. And Alma, as he's speaking to his sons, to his son Corianton, Corianton, for I understand he was called to do his work, to do the God's work, but he was being rebellion. I don't want that to happen to us. And as much as I shake standing here and I get so nervous, I will continue standing here in front of you as long as you let me to. Alma 19, 43 and 44, it says, behold, I have been made to know unto me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they are depart from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to the God who gave them life. And then shall come to pass that the spirits of those which are righteous are received into the state of happiness, which is called paradise. A state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all care and sorrows. I really love my God, and I love those promises that we have. There's a place prepared for you into the judgment day. I want to be in that happiness called paradise. I don't want to be in the outer darkness, because I know what is coming will be worse. In Alma 19:59, and now my son, this is the restoration of which has been spoken by the mouth of the prophets. And then shall the righteous shine for in the kingdom of God. And that brings me to my next verse in Revelations. The righteousness will shine, if you read about the holy city where there's no darkness, where there's no night, where the sun, the glory of God will be as sunshine. There will no need for any of those things. In Revelations 24, 23, I'm going to read it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine it, for the glory of God there lighted in, and the Lamb as is the light thereof. Alma reminds us who the Lamb is. and who we going to, and who is sitting, and who will own us, who will be our God, who will be his children in that city. That is our way. We are on the way there. And it reminds us through all the scriptures. And so the duty of this guy, Coriantum, the Alma was speaking to, is that he was not doing his work as God told him to do. So the work, that work applied to us this day. And now, my son, this is in 115 in the same chapter, 15 and 16. Now, my son, you are called of God to preach the word unto these people. And now, my son, go thy way and declare the word with truth and soberness, that thou mayest bring souls into repentance, that the great plan of mercy may have claim upon them when that time comes. We have work to do, a lot of work. Let's not waste that opportunity. We are called to preach the gospel, to preach the good news, and to bring more souls to God. That is our purpose, as God has called us to his ministry. I find not funny, but interesting, the salvation is through our whole life. We have to work to that, to earn the salvation. I read a comment online about how, you know, firefighters, when they see themselves, when they find themselves in danger. As a big fire coming is starting this, prairie, dry grass and all that stuff. Big wildfires coming to you, you know, and the strategy that they have, they know, is to burn the area where you're standing far enough that when the fire gets to you, you will not get burned. That's the same thing as salvation. If we're not in the area that is not burned, to me, just to be in Christ, you will get burned and destroyed. You don't want to be in the wildfire. You want to be in the area where you are safe. And I know that God is going to help us to get to it. We are his children and he doesn't forgive us. And Deuteronomy chapter 7, 6, verse 6. For thou art unholy unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. I remember this scripture. Brother Bob Hedrick, in one of his preachings, and the way he put it is that we are so special, in a special way, not special, but we're special in God's eyes. We are his people. He has chosen us to be his people on earth above all the people that is here. That brings happiness. That brings me comfort that, hey, I've been chosen by God. Out of all of them, I come from a family of 10, and I'm the only one that I believe what I believe. And I wanted to share it with them, but they don't listen. They didn't listen to me. Has God worked in their hearts? I'm pretty sure he did. I cannot read what's in their hearts. But so far, I don't see any good works. And Deuteronomy 7, 9. Know therefore that thy Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keep covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Generations to generations. From the beginning, we're in 2020 now. That applies to us. He's here. He's there for you and I, for all the generations. In Revelation 24, 4 and 5, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Are they true and faithful? We just read in Mosiah, do you believe in God? And do you believe that He did all these things? Do you believe that He created you? Do you believe that He promised to come back? Do you believe that He went and prepared a house for you? A commentary from one of the Bibles, I forgot his name, but he said, the happy throng poured through the gates with never ending. Those gates facing every quarter stand always open, but none desire to go for, except commissioned on some errand by the king. All the glory and honor of the world are gathered between those walls, because Jesus will be the king over every department of human life. There will be room for all beauty, all people in his holy city of the eternal light and love. The doors are open. The doors are open. It's up to you if you want to go in. It's just like when Noah was as he was building the ark, they didn't believe the things that were about to come. The doors were open, and nobody listened to what he was saying. Otherwise, they would go in into the boat, and they would be safe. It's the same thing with our Lord these days. You told them, you explained to them. You told them the story, like it says in the song, but they don't listen. It's just, he is the ark. Are you going to go in? The time is running out. In the book of Mosiah, again, King Benjamin is talking to his sons in chapter 1. That would be my last scripture. Chapter 1. Verse 88 to 91. And moreover, I will desire that you should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. The blessed and the happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in the state of never-ending happiness. Oh, remember that these things are true, for the Lord hath spoken of it. They are true. What I just said right now is true. Heaven is real, and there's a place of true happiness. Nothing on earth lasts forever. Our goal is to go to heaven and be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is our home. That is our promised home. Thank you for your time, and I hope that you were blessed by this message. Thank you.